Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Isaiah chapter 38, and coming off God's great victory for Judah while Hezekiah was king, and just glorious it must have been for Hezekiah to see God move and to see the Assyrian army defeated, and as a result of Judah's greater faithfulness and Hezekiah's good godly leadership, God answered their prayer and brought destruction to Assyria and allowed Judah to go on as a nation. Now, in the future, you know, the son of Hezekiah will really return to wickedness. And unfortunately, in the future, Judah and Jerusalem will be taken over. But in this stage in history, God has blessed their honor of him and their faithfulness. But Hezekiah is going to go from one challenge to another. In those days, Hezekiah became ill to the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, "Thus says Yahweh." So this is very interesting. So Isaiah is hearing from God that Hezekiah's time is done. And, you know, there's going to come a time for that for all of us. And, you know, just because we're believers in Yahweh and even do what's right doesn't mean that we won't get sick and that we won't die. And that's why we, you know, have to have our faith in Jesus right and just follow him all our days. And one day now, especially in this new covenant area that we live in, where Jesus has opened up paradise to us, that we will be with the Lord in heaven to die as gain. Hallelujah. But as we'll see, in Hezekiah's day, some of the Old Testament patriarchs had a greater understanding of life after death, and some did not. And Hezekiah is one that doesn't. He does not have much faith in what good could come to him. And indeed, the promises in the Old Testament, although they can be found or hinted to, they're nowhere near as strong as it is to New Testament believers of Jesus as far as the immediacy of paradise, of heaven, when we die to be with the Lord. So Hezekiah is pretty distraught, not having much confidence in what's going to happen other than being going into Sheol, into the ground when he dies. So thus says Yahweh, Isaiah says to Hezekiah. So he's saying, this is from the Lord. Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. And, you know, that makes some sense, right? Let's set our houses in order. Let's set our lives in order. You know, let's make sure things are in a good place so that if we die, we don't leave, you know, a mess on our hands or a mess to the rest of our family. I think it's good to think about having our houses in order. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to Yahweh and said, now this is pretty special and it shows Hezekiah's faith. I mean, even though he gets this word from Isaiah, he's going to cry out to God, and his faith was great and his faith was strong that God was real. And he prays to Yahweh and says, remember now, O Yahweh, I beseech you. And how about that? Like really crying out to God with fervor and strength. How I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept greatly. And you know what? I don't think that Hezekiah is saying I was perfect, but he was saying, you know what? In large part, my life was positioned to honor you. I did what was right almost every time. I sought to honor you with my life and how I led this nation. And he cries out before God, and amen, Hezekiah. To cry out to God in this way. Now, listen to what happens. Verse 4. Then the word of Yahweh came to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus says Yahweh, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer. God hears, y'all. God is real. And he hears our prayers, and for the righteous man, you know, the prayers of the saints, God hears the righteous man's prayers. I'm thinking of a verse, but it's not completely coming to me. But the righteous man, God hears. Listen, thus says Yahweh, the God of your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Man, what a moment. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. And I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. I'm going to keep on defending this city. And I've seen your devotion to me. I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. And I've decided to give you 15 more years. How about that? You know, there's a... if you've been listening to me for a while, you would know, and if not, I think it's a great opportunity for me to teach on it. For me to teach on it here is that I think we have to be very wary of doctrinal summaries by man. Man loves simple-minded, and I'll even say simple-minded folly. And man loves when you can just say something about God as though this is what God is all the time, and he's never going to be different than that, and I don't need to wrestle with it anymore. I don't need to know the whole Bible. I'm just going to say God is that. I mean, give you an example real quick. Someone might say God is love, and some people act as though God is only love, like he only has one characteristic and the only part about him is love. Now, clearly in the Bible it says God is love, but does that mean he's only love? And clearly not. And people who think that, it really, what it shows is they've been taught something and they've grabbed on to certain portions of the Bible and they really don't know the whole Bible. If you read the whole Bible, you would not think that the only attribute God can live by is love all the time. God is just. God's angry with sin. God brings judgment. God brings wrath. I mean, we've seen it all through, you know, these Old Testament books, and, you know, you can read about it in Revelation, and you can read about it through just about every book of the Bible, that God is just, he's a judge, he brings judgment, he brings wrath, and God is love. He is all those things. And listen, I don't want you to question his love. I mean, what an amazing love that he gave his only begotten son to forgive us of our sin. So that is a great act and sign of God's love, and God's love is real, but it's not the only part of God. And sometimes what people want to do is they in their minds, they paint God into a corner as though God is, you know, surrounded by their doctrine and can't get out of it. And, you know, one of the doctrines that is being referred to here is the doctrine of immutability, that God can't change. And sometimes people can be so dogmatic about that because in parts of the Bible, it'll say that God can't change his mind, except, of course, if he does. Because over the course of the Bible, he's changed his mind a lot or responded to prayers. Now, in a sense, God's character doesn't change. His being doesn't change. God is not just willy-nilly. But God is also a personal God, and God hears our prayer, and God responds. So, you know, it says in the Bible, as an example, God has not changed. Well, what does that mean? Should we then make a blanket statement based on that one verse? Or, listen, is God revealed through all of the Bible? I thought God was revealed through the whole counsel of God's word, right? And listen, you won't know what error is if you don't know what truth is. And this is one of the great things that I am so pleased if you're taking in the whole counsel of God's word. You won't think in summary doctrinal statements. You won't force God into a corner that he can easily get out of anyways, but in your mind that people have painted him into, because you just won't think like that. If you take in the whole counsel of God's word, you won't think like that, because you'll clearly see that God is not made up of man-made summaries. God is rich. He's beautiful. He's complex. You can't just paint him into a corner, or you can't just make God into who you want him to be. And I'm so thankful he's not. And in this case, although he had made his mind up, it said that Isaiah was told by God, set your house in order, for you will die and not live. When he saw Hezekiah's prayer and Hezekiah cried out to him, in this particular instance, God changed his mind, and he gave him 15 more years. So God has the ability to choose to respond to man. And this is why also I would say, you know, the Bible says you will reap what you sow, because God responds to man's behavior, man's faithfulness, and God provides favor to those who follow him. He's not so rigid and have everything all set in order that he can't change with our behavior or our honor of him. And that's clearly seen in this chapter, and it's clearly seen as you take in the whole Bible. Now, there will be a verses or a verse or a verse that if someone wanted to right now, they could contradict me and say, okay, well, this specific Bible verse, Pastor Jay, goes against what you're saying. Well, that's fine. I'll give you a lot of other Bible verses that say exactly what I'm saying. So then what do you do with that? Should you go to all the way to one side or all the way to the other side? No, we have to allow for mystery and we have to allow for God to be God. He's infinite. We're finite. Don't think that we can guardrail God into what we want him to be. You got to just allow God to be God. And there's certain things that we're not going to be able to crystallize into one succinct statement. And, you know, God's too rich and beautiful for that. And there's no need to do that. Instead, get to know God through the whole counsel of God's word. That's where beauty is found. The beauty and richness of God is found there. And in this particular case, God changed his mind. He heard the prayer of one of his faithful saints, and he gave him 15 more years. Don't you want a God like that, that hears your prayer and can respond if he desires to you and your faithfulness? Hallelujah. I sure do. And you know what? It's not a matter of what I want or what I don't want. It's what the whole Bible says, not just a doctrine, not just a summary, but what the whole counsel says about our whole God. Hallelujah. All right, now this will be a sign to you from Yahweh that Yahweh will do this word that he has spoken. Behold, I will cause the shadow on the stairway, which has gone down with the sun on the stairway of Ahaz, to go back 10 steps. So the sun's shadow went back 10 steps on the stairway on which it had gone down. Now, in a different part of the Bible, I believe in 2 Kings, Hezekiah wanted a sign, and God actually gave him a sign and showed this miraculous shadow to show Isaiah that, or excuse me, Hezekiah, that what Isaiah was saying, that he was going to live, was actually true. And now Hezekiah is going to write in a beautiful writing in response to the faithfulness of God. And a writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after his illness and recovery, I said, in the middle of my life, I am to enter the gates of Sheol. Now, Sheol was the place of the dead in the Old Testament. If you really research Sheol, it appears there was two parts of Sheol. There was a hell part of Sheol, and then there was a waiting place of the dead of Sheol that most Old Testament people who believed in Yahweh thought that they would be one day resurrected from that place, but that if you were bad and evil, that you would go to the pit, the lower pit of Sheol. That's not necessarily really spelled out in this passage here, but Hezekiah doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to die, and he doesn't want to go to Sheol. And today I'm not going to focus on that. If you want to look up in my teachings, if you search Sheol in Revering the Word, other times will come up where I've taught on this and you could get a fuller understanding. But he says, I am to enter the gates of Sheol. He thought that's where he was headed. And I am to be deprived of the rest of my years. I said, I will not see Yah in the land of the living, referring to Yahweh. I will look on man no more among the inhabitants of the world. He thought his time on earth was done. Like a shepherd's tent, my dwelling is pulled up and removed from me. As a weaver, I rolled up my life. He cuts me off from the loom. From the day until night, you make an end of me. I soothe my soul until morning, like a lion, so he shatters all my bones. From day until night, you make an end of me. Like a shadow, like a crane, so I chirped. I moan like a dove. My eyes look wistfully to the heights. O Lord, I am oppressed. Be my security. And this is his crying out to God. What shall I say? Indeed, he has spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I will wander about all my years because of the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live. And in all these is the life of my spirit. Oh, restore me to health and let me live. Behold, for my well-being I had great bitterness. But it is you who has held back my soul from the pit of nothingness. For you have cast all my sins behind your back. And he sees it as God forgiving him, that he's giving him more life. For Sheol cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot keep watch for your truth. Now, remember, this is Old Testament times. So although we can't praise him anymore in this life, if our life is no longer here in this life, we will be praising God in heaven. But Hezekiah didn't have faith in that at this moment. And there was different fullness of security, of understanding that Old Testament people had versus what we have now. The Apostle Paul said to die is to live, and I'd rather be away from the body, and I'd rather be home with the Lord. And if I go on living, there'll be fruitful labor for me, but it'd be far better for me just to die and be home with the Lord. Today you'll be with me in paradise. I mean, there's so many verses. If this tent of this body is destroyed, I have a house made in the heavens. I'm quoting a bunch of New Testament passages about the immediacy of heaven to those who die, that it became further known and pronounced and more rich and beautiful to the New Testament believer in Jesus that Hezekiah just did not have the security of. All right, verse 19. It is the living who gives thanks to you as I do today. A father makes known to his sons about your truth. Yahweh is here to save me. So we will play my songs on stringed instruments all the days of our life at the house of Yahweh. And he is thankful that now he's going to get 15 more years to praise God, and praise God for that. You know, today, yeah, I hope I have more years to praise God on this earth, but you know what? We don't have to fear death the way that Hezekiah did. We don't have to loathe death, because to be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. So we're given such greater assurance, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Now, Isaiah had said, and this is kind of interesting, verse 21 and 22, I'll make a comment on it in a second. Now, Isaiah had said, let them take up cake of figs and apply it to the boil. Apparently he had boils, so that he may live. Then Hezekiah had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of Yahweh? It almost appears, you know, think about in writing of a scroll, you know, by a pen that you would dip in ink, you know, and I don't know, you couldn't write a lot of letters. I don't know how many letters you could write, but not a lot, as you dipped a pen of some kind in ink in order to write a scroll. It would take a long time. It's not like a keyboard, and it's not even like a ballpoint pen. So at times, I think people wrote, and it's possible they might have been like, oh, I should have put this earlier. And that's kind of what we have here in Isaiah 38, 21, and 22. It may have been inserted somewhere between verses 4 and 8 more accurately, but Isaiah fits it in here. And, that's just a theory. I'm not going to die on this hill, but it seems to be a little out of order there. But you could see how it happened. And if you wrote your whole scroll, imagine then you wanted to go and reinsert something. It'd be like nearly impossible to do, you know? So that may have been what's happened here. But that's not the most significant thing for us to take from this. I think what is the significant thing is this. God knows. God is real. We talked about this in the previous chapter. God is real. God knows. God hears. And God, whenever he wants, can respond. And it's good to spread ourselves out before God. It's good to pray to God. It's good to cry out to God and to trust that if you're a believer in him, he's for you. Hallelujah. And what a beautiful thing it is to have a God who hears our prayers. Never forget, he sees your tears. God bless you all.